Big Talk.
The music feature.
Now, to play us into the weekend, I'm delighted to have a chance to reflect on the songbook of the legendary Bob Seger. If you're a fan, you probably know already that it's been pretty difficult to find his music online. Until very recently, that is, because there's been quite a significant change. Up until a couple of weeks ago, Bob Seger was one of the few remaining really big name artists whose work it was almost impossible to buy online or to listen to on the online streaming sites. You could literally only pick up a couple of Christmas tunes on Spotify, I believe. And it wasn't by choice. It was actually due to an ongoing dispute between his manager and Capitol Records. And that has changed. And I thought we'd seize the opportunity to celebrate his music, chat a little about his significance. Joining me on the line, it's a great pleasure to welcome back the music guru, Sean Brokenshaw. Great to have you with us, Sean.
Hey, Pippa, are you Chipper? How's it going?
Nice to have you back with us. And I love your description on Twitter of Bob Seger as the everyman of music. What makes you describe him in that way?
Well, he's always been that. If we think of Bob Seger, we think more of an ordinary guy, a guy from the heartland. You don't necessarily think about a rock star. Mm. And he's always been that. He's been this regular guy, which is a double-edged sword for him because it means that he's deeply, deeply, deeply loved where he comes from, the Michigan area. But it took him so long to break out of that area because he was just so closely tied to geographically the issues of where he came from. But when he did, he presented the world with a completely unique thing. You know, he was kind of like Bruce Springsteen, but he kind of lacked the charisma of Bruce Springsteen, let's be honest. But he was unique, and his songs, his lyrics are beautiful. You know, if you don't need to be attracted by the flash, the songs and the stories are magnificent. And musically, he's superb. He's absolutely, as a guitarist, as a writer, as a producer, songwriter as well. He's earned his legendary status many, many times, but he's remained this ordinary guy.
I've got to say, I've always thought We've Got Tonight is one of the most romantic songs ever written, hands down. I absolutely love it. It's too slow to play on a Friday afternoon, but that's probably my favorite. Sean, this issue with his work being available online has dragged on for years and years, and it's not, as you might expect, about an artist maybe holding out for better royalties or trying to fight against illegal downloads. He genuinely did want his music to be available to fans. Do you know what happened to prevent that?
Well, he's never had the best relationship with Capitol Records, and it's a sad thing because his big breakthrough came through in the mid-70s, where he was offered a contract by Motown, and he actually chose Capitol instead, even though they were paying less music, because he felt that they would support him better as an artist, and they were more in his heartland. And a lot of it has to do with that. Don't get the idea that he's sort of stuck in the past. Not at all. His music career has been going strong ever since he started. He took a 10-year break, sure, but that was to raise his family and to sell yachts. And then he returned to music. And I think this is part of his return more than anything else, that they've finally been able to release it like this. And it's not just online as well. He's released vinyls. How's that for a blast from the past?
Oh, fantastic.
Recently. He's released a lot of these albums on multicolored vinyls, which will be quite fun. You can get one in purple, one in black, and one in blue.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's his way of saying to the world, look, I'm back. I haven't gone anywhere. And I'm ready to embrace the new technology, whatever it takes.
I don't own a record player, but I'd buy a purple Bob Seger record just to put it up in my house as a talking point,
of course,
Sean.
Yes, yeah.
carry on.
You mentioned your favorite song, and therein lies the secret of Bob Seger. He is heartfelt. He is absolutely sincere. And because of that, we, the ordinary people who aren't rock stars, can relate to what he's singing about. You listen to his music, and he kind of tells the story of your life. And it's beyond romance. It's to do with a relationship with his father, to do with growing up, having his own kids when he was 40, being 18 and feeling absolutely powerful, and then realizing much later in life that you're not. It's all about growing up. I mean, his life and his music have been in parallel, and that's what makes it ring so true to us.
Yeah. Now, I mean, I've had an SMS from Kai saying Bob Seger's live album is one of the best ever. I do recall him touring South Africa with the Silver Bullet Band. It must have been when I was in high school, I think early 1990s. Has he been back since then, Sean?
No, I don't think he has. And, you know, you mentioned the Silver Bullet Band. If you look at the life of Bob Seger, he went through about five or six bands before he got to the Silver Bullet Band, and none of them had much success. And that year that live album was released, 1976, was the year that everything broke for him, because within 2 months he released that, and he also released an album called Night Moves. Mm. And those two albums are the iconic, I suppose you'd think of them as a debut, because it's when he broke out of the Michigan area. But yeah, no, definitely prime year for Bob Seger, 1976. But to answer your question, I don't think after that he's come back yet.
Okay, I wonder if anyone listening caught them when he was here. It must have been around about 1992 or 93, I think, that they were in South Africa. If anybody was there, saw the show and wants to share some memories with us, I hope they'll call on 021-446-0567. Sean, I mean, what's the one album you'd look for if you're not somebody who's been exposed to his music before? Now you suddenly have all these options to go and buy online for the first time. What's the album you'd recommend a complete novice should buy?
It sounds like a cheat, but I'd go for either Greatest Hits 1 or Greatest Hits 2, because you're going to get a lot of tracks. He's one of those artists who's generous, so you're going to get most of the stuff. In fact, if you get those two, you'll basically have most of it. But, you know, you need to listen to the early stuff as well, and you need to actually find out about the guy, because not only do we know the songs, but he's had an influence on other bands as well, like the Eagles, for example. He's been a silent songwriter for the Eagles and kind of a cohort and friend of theirs. He once shared a flat with Glenn Frey.
Wow.
And they were in the flat below Jackson Brown. Jackson Brown's career was taking off at that point, and they would help him with songs. In fact, he co-wrote the Eagles' first hit, and he's always been part of that scene. So if you kind of look at the influence of him as a songwriter, and you look at the other musicians that he kind of grew up with, it gives you a whole story that you can't get on Greatest Hits, but budgets are limited. So, you know, if you have to buy one, go for Greatest Hits 1.
I've got to say, in my next life, I want to live in an apartment building that has Glenn Frey, Jackson Brown, and Bob Seger as my neighbors.
Probably,
I think I'd put up with the noise.
Either, but, you know, I suppose your music makes it okay.
Okay. Sean, just in closing, I mean, you've talked about the influence on other artists. You've talked about writing for other artists. If you look at today's young up-and-coming artists, do you see the influence of a songwriter like Bob Seger evident in their music?
Yes, absolutely. And one of the things I welcome that with the online streaming available is that people can actually hear, a new generation actually hear how good this guy is. And, you know, music is a funny thing. It goes in circles. And the tide always comes in at some point. And we sing, in this century, we sing a lot of music that draws from the past. And not only in influence, but almost directly in style sometimes. Some of the hottest bands around these days, if you took someone and you blindfolded them metaphorically and you said, what decade does this come from? A lot of them are going to be answering 70s, 80s. And so, yeah, and he definitely has a very relevant place today. Just in terms of how to do rock 101 for any musician, it's a brilliant, brilliant way to start.
Sean Brokenshaw, thanks for sharing that with us today. Our music guru reflecting there on the everyman of music. I love that description of the amazing Bob Seger. And wonderful that finally that ongoing difficulty with Capitol Records has been resolved. I loved reading Bob's interview in Rolling Stone magazine, where he was sort of almost apologizing to fans, saying, I really wanted my music to be available. But, you know, I listened to my manager. I've had the same manager for 49 years, he said, and he's been right most of the time. I hate to get into his area. He doesn't mess with my music, and I don't mess with his management.